From now until the end of the Survivor season, the RHAP Bell shirts are back with sizes ranging from small all the way up to 5XL for those days where you've just had too much meat. The RHAP t-shirts are available now. So go ahead and check them out. $1 from each shirt goes to support Autism Speaks. That's at robiswebsite.com/bellshirts. That's robiswebsite.com/bellshirts.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back after episode number 13 of Survivor Go Wrong. I am Rob Cicerino here with Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you at this hour?
It's a bad day. You know what? It's a bad TV show for people named Joe. Joe Dowdle, medevaced. Joe Anglum passes out in a challenge and is voted out that night. Joe Del Campo, medevaced. Joe's, you know, woe be to Joe's on this show.
Yes, we're still coming to grips with Joe Del Campo, medevaced out of the game, severe gastrointestinal distress, but a complete 180 from your own severe gastrointestinal distress, right?
It's true. You know what? The human animal, it's a crazy thing, the human body, you know, and it's like you really got to hit that middle, you want to keep it the right amount in, let like some out, you know, but you gotta, it's crazy. And that's why Survivor's a tough show. Survivor's a crazy show because, you know, if like you're not physically 100%, like you can't do the thing at all. Wow. Wow, that was good, right?
Yeah.
That was a pretty good observation.
Yeah, you can't. And really, that was really the problem for Joe this whole time. He could not do the thing, that was it. Game over.
Yeah.
That was it. All right. So a lot to talk about. Well, the one bright side tonight, Stephen Fishback, the one silver lining is, thank goodness we weren't doing the live know-it-alls tonight. We don't have a room full of 300 people to talk about Joe's gastrointestinal issues.
Yeah, this would be a tough one. It's going to be a tough one for us now to make like hay from whatever this was. It was an episode. It was a TV show. Survivor at its worst is like any show at its other show at its best. And you know, there's still so much going on, even in kind of a thin episode of Survivor. You have this guy, Joe. Oldest contestant since Rudy, and I would argue that he's had a harder road to hoe than Rudy did, because the game has changed so much. It's such a much tougher game than it used to be. You know, Pake Ethan's on, I don't know. I don't even know where I was going with that thought.
All right. Well, we do have a lot to talk about tonight that definitely not the typical episode of Survivor tonight, but I do think that there will be some fun to be had and sort of set up this finale, which is taking place 1 week from tonight. Stephen and I will be together live for that show 1 week from tonight. So,
but not live together.
Right. Well, it's just like, I mean, the we'll same as this. Apart, the same exact apart, thing as this. Yeah. Right. And that'll be at 11:15 p.m. Eastern time next week after the finale and reunion show. Of course, we've got a really great batch of podcasts coming up here on the podcast tomorrow. Of course, we will have our Joe Del Campo exit interview. So he will give us all of the dirt on this season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's certainly been there.
Yeah.
You know, you can say that. He may not know what happened, but he was there for it.
Yes. Then we will also have, I'm sorry, that I have just so many terrible puns just running through my head and my, like, my impulse control is just like, don't say that one. Don't say that one. Don't say that one.
Yeah. Yeah. Are they running through your head as fast as Joe was running in that challenge?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Was that one of the ones not to say? I feel like I've got less impulse control.
I'm trying so hard to bite my tongue, and I really, and once you bite your tongue, it just makes it harder and harder to stop.
You can't even, yeah. That's why you got to just let it out. Let it out.
That's what I'm like, Joe. I'm like keeping it all bottled in. This
I'm
is
like,
not good.
I'm like me. Yeah. Just letting it out.
Jeremy Collins, your friend, will be on the podcast tomorrow. It's a recap.
Great.
Yeah. To recap all this, we'll get the champ on to talk about who he thinks is going to be the likely winner of this next season, who will be taking that baton from him as the reigning Survivor champion. And then Bryce Isaiah will join us again. Oh, wow. And I'm sure that that will be a lot of fun to talk through this episode with Bryce.
Yeah, Bryce is always great.
Always great. All right. And Steven, also some big news real quick that you have just been added to the lineup for Run It Up Reno that 2 weeks from now, you and I will be hanging out in person.
With Josh Pegler. It's the three know-it-alls we'll be together.
Yes.
You know, in feuding over the poker table in Reno.
Plus Tyson, plus Boston Rob, plus Anna Queso, an all-star lineup.
less relevant, yeah.
All right.
Oh, Anna's going
to
be there?
Yes, yes. So plenty
that's
of good
fun.
Podcasting.
Maybe she can teach me how to play poker.
Lots of podcasting to be done when we're in Reno. You can go to runitupreno.com to find out more information. All right, so.
Well, so Rob, I've always said, and I actually do know how to play poker, not like Boston Rob, but I've always said the Survivor is like a poker tournament. Do you think we're both going to lose badly?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I think they'll probably not get nearly as far. But just to bring it back to Survivor, was the problem tonight that Joe just couldn't bring himself, that, you know, Ty had the idol that he couldn't, he didn't want to flush the idol tonight?
He didn't want, he couldn't flush anything.
Yeah. That was the problem. In all seriousness here, you know, Steven, we've been told all season long, this is the toughest season of Survivor. This is so grueling. This was going to be the most brutal conditions of any season. These survivors are going to be tested in ways unlike they've ever been tested before. Now that we've gotten to this point, we've had our third medevac of the season. Does that still ring true to you?
I definitely think that. Yeah, I mean, it certainly does, right? And I think you've seen it in a lot of different ways. You know, you had Caleb who just like pushed himself too hard in this like vicious heat. You know, Neil got a gross infection. And then, you know, you're the opposite end of the spectrum. You have Joe who's just like, you know, this like awesome older guy whose body just like, you know, it couldn't handle the demands of Survivor, which is you starve and you gorge, you know, all of it just at once. And, you know, I don't know if it necessarily proves that like this was the hardest location ever just because you've had the most medevacs from it, but it certainly proves, you know, it was a very hard location and what a tough, crazy show it is. And really, like, I do think we need to give so much credit to Joe for being out there. I mean, like the fact that he did last this long and like I was saying before, you know, the game now season 32 is so different from Rudy season one. And I don't want to like risk sacrilege here with Rudy, but like, the mental game of just all these twists and idols and advantages, you know, and swaps, it's like that alone wears you down, you know, like back in the day, you just had to like sit on the beach and like find five friends. And that's like not enough anymore. And that alone wears you down. And the fact that this guy, Joe, goes all the way, you know, really doing a really good job of it, you know, I mean, amazing.
Yeah. I mean, let's not get too carried away, Steven, great, nice job by Joe, but you know, he was, you know, robbed of his, spot as a, you know, a finalist in the end with no votes, which I mean, I know it's near and dear to your heart, but I just like, let's just like take it a little bit easy on the upside for Joe.
I don't think that's necessarily true. What if Joe is there against someone who's really loathed by the jury, like Ty? You know, like, yes, like from our perspective, watching this show as it's been constructed now, you know, Joe's like a nothing player, you know, but like maybe, you know, if Joe gets to the end, he's getting a totally different edit. We're seeing a completely different side of Joe. We're seeing Joe socializing with people. We're seeing the bonds Joe's making. Suddenly we're like, oh, maybe Joe has some game in him. And like, I don't think just because we see this one narrative sort of like Joe's off to the side and, you know, he's irrelevant, it means he's never had a shot.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I feel like I feel like you started in a good place of the, you know, looking back fondly and waxing poetic about Joe, but I think that maybe you're going a little too far.
Right. I'm just saying we're seeing something that's been constructed.
Seems like a great guy.
Knowing the end in mind. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Now, this really does set off a ton of interesting scenarios going into the final four here with Joe and now being out of the game, because I really did feel like coming into last week's episode when we did the know-it-alls that Aubrey made the wrong move last week. And I felt like that she should have gone with Joe and Ty, and then they should have gone with his plan to take out Michelle. And it's almost like, to me, she realized that a week too late, where she was like,
Aubrey did.
Yeah, that Aubrey did. That I need to get rid of Sydney. Sydney is a threat. And yeah. Now I wonder if she is screwed no matter what now at this point, where the Joe medevac thing happened, but was she going to be screwed either way?
I mean, obviously she's much more screwed by the Joe medevac. I mean, I thought actually she kind of saved herself pretty well with Ty. You know, it really seemed like after maybe a misstep, and we really should talk about her choice on the reward to take Sydney instead of Ty. But like after that, she comes back, you know, it looks like Ty and Michelle are going to bond. And then like, as you know, Aubrey's got this real gift for emotionally connecting with people. And that's the way you need to connect with people in Survivor.
Especially
you know?
Ty.
Especially Ty. Right. Yeah. But even apart from like, you know, the strategic niceties for her ability to be like, let's hug, let's cry together. You know, certainly with Ty, it works incredibly well. And like suddenly he breaks down, you know, she's got some bond with him. So actually it looked like she saved herself. I mean, I thought not taking Ty and reward was a terrible decision. And as you know, I'm all about taking your allies. In this case, I thought it was a really disastrous decision.
So if Joe stays in the game at that tribal council tonight at the final five, what ultimately happens?
I think that everyone is scrambling for that third spot with them, which is shocking to me. You know, that's what's driving me crazy about these players is that like you've got Aubrey and Joe who are final two. It's day 33, 34. You've got to at least think, hey, maybe it's a final two and not a final three. You know, the last Brains for Brawn Beauty was a final two. Even if it's not, right? We don't know yet if it's gonna be a final two or a final three. Even if it's not, you have to at least be thinking this. And the fact that no one is thinking, we got to break up this Aubrey Joe thing. You know, everyone's like, oh, I want to be with Aubrey and Joe. I want to be the third. Like, I don't get that. Like, how is nobody saying that those two are a really tight pair? We got to break them up instead of joining them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I hear you. And I feel like that for Aubrey, I felt like it took her too long to realize like, oh, I should go to the end with Joe and Ty. I feel like that nobody is really jumping on that grenade of let me go.
Yeah.
Let me go with pair up with Joe. There's a spot for me there if I go that way. So it does seem like that there are some missed opportunities here. I feel like that if there was going to be a tribal council, that Sydney would have been voted out had she not won immunity here at the final five now.
Yeah, I kind of think Sydney was probably the one that they
but
were setting
only
up
to go. By the grace of Aubrey fixing what she had broke at that last vote. Like, I think she did a very bad job of managing the tie situation last time, but a really good job of sort of putting those pieces back together.
And Sydney is the right one, right? If you're Aubrey, I mean, it seems like Sydney's playing. I mean, of the people left in the game, it looks to me like Sydney's playing maybe the best game, right?
She's the biggest threat to ultimately win, I think, of, you know, the people on the other side. But now here at the final four, is it just going to be as simple as Aubrey and Ty versus Michelle and Sydney, or do you think that Ty is in play?
I mean, I think Ty is in play. I think Sydney's in play. You know, I think actually the next time on Survivor really set up. I mean, what's so compelling about this four is that there are so many, you know, there's so many different
right.
dynamics that they have,
like
right?
The is women could all get together. They could vote against Ty.
Yeah.
You could see Ty being pulled over to Sydney and Michelle to vote against yeah. Aubrey.
You can see, I mean, certainly Sydney can go with Aubrey and Ty, right? Like, because Michelle, it seemed like it did sort of, for whatever reason, have a spot on the bottom of that alliance, you know, at least in Ty's mind. So, you know, you can really see a lot of things playing out in this final four.
Yeah. So how much sympathy should we have for Aubrey at this point in time that Joe ends up going out of the game? How much did you feel like Aubrey had this And then if the season ends without Aubrey being the winner, how much do you feel like we could look at this moment and say Aubrey got screwed?
Yeah, I mean, she got tremendously lucky when Neil was voted out, right? Like, because it looked like she was going to be, I mean, was evacuated because it looked like she was going to be the one to go that night. And then she got tremendously unlucky when Joe was medevaced, you know, and she was tremendously lucky to have a Joe, you
She's
know,
even I think Steven it's like, now.
Yeah. I think that like, there's so much luck in this game. And this is an example of it. You know, Aubrey, who by all accounts looks to have a very clean shot at the final two, has got her jury goat, you know, who's going to go with her all the end, ride or die. Doesn't even seem to really like, I mean, I'm really curious in Joe's interviews to hear what his final two scenario is. Like, is he just content to like sit there? Cause he had that interesting conversation with Aubrey on Reward where he says to her, hey, you know, I'm just hanging out, being nice. You're the mastermind. You're the one in charge. Like, that scene like was I felt like the most game we'd seen from Joe all season, where it seemed like he was kind of like buttering her up, you know?
Hmm.
Did that not register for you?
You know, I need to go back and listen to what he said. I thought it was like, oh, Joe, what are you doing? What are you saying here? Why are you opening your mouth like this? I thought that he was getting himself into trouble more so than he was like, oh, this is like really solid analysis he's doing.
Oh, so what did you think? Like, how was he getting himself into trouble?
It just seemed like he was maybe spilling, you know, saying too much at that point in time and saying stuff that he didn't need to talk about. You know, it's really, we don't really get to know what was the dynamic and what was the rest of the conversation. It's weird that, you know, for the second season in a row, we had an overnight trip where we didn't see anything that happened on the overnight.
Yeah.
You know? We had the Temple Reward last season where I think it was Spencer, Kelly, and Keith, and they went. Uh-huh. And then it was just like, okay, well, you know, cut to they come back the next day. And then this season again, it was like, okay, they're eating. And then cut to they come back the next day. We didn't see anything from the rest of the night.
But if it's not in there, right, it's probably not interesting. Right? They probably just like hung out and like had a nice sleep. And in the morning, they like, you know, came right back to camp.
How uninteresting did it have to be to not make it in this episode, Stephen?
Pretty uninteresting.
but so I don't know. Were they locking down a final three at that point in time?
Can we talk? Before we talk about that, let's talk about Aubrey's decision to not take Ty on Reward, because I feel like I can't even like talk about Reward until we talk about that.
Yes. Okay. So we went to the Reward and we had this decision. So Joe wins. He picks Aubrey, and then Aubrey gets to decide who the third person was. They end up picking Sydney and like publicly in front of everybody. You think they should have picked Ty?
Here's my thing. Like, I feel like if Ty did not have an idol, then the move is right to pick Sydney, because you want to, like, Ty is erratic. At this point, you're at five. You need to like make a solid three. You want to, like, it doesn't matter what four and five are doing if you have a solid three, right? Mm-hmm. But the problem is Ty is an idol, and like, that doesn't mean he's playing the idol for himself. That means, you know, as was kind of hinted tonight, he's playing the idol for whomever he wants.
Right.
So essentially Ty can choose who goes home tonight, you know, if he has some kind of information about, you know, who's the likely target. So why not, with that in mind, like, Ty needs to be your three. Why not Ty?
Yeah, that's a really great point in terms of what Aubrey was doing, especially when she needed to do damage control. Like, at first, it seemed like when she has that conversation with Ty and he's upset, like, I feel like that maybe Aubrey was just like saying to Ty, hey, you're on the outs. You know, you're not getting voted out here, but you're getting voted out next. You just have to take your medicine here. You know, you're going out fourth. Michelle's going out next.
Oh, really? That nighttime conversation?
Well, I think that based on that she said, okay, well, my final three is me and Joe and Sydney. So Ty, right. you could play your idol tonight. You won't go home now, but Michelle's going home and then you're going home next. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And I think it was at the Reward that she said, wait a second, hold on. I'm better off with Ty. So I think that that's what she was thinking, but I agree with you 100%. That the move should have been to take Ty and fix that bond. You know, I said she should have stuck with Ty last week going into this vote.
Yeah.
And so it seemed like that to me that she sort of had to double back on that. Luckily, Ty is somebody that you could appeal to him and win him back over.
He just must really not like Michelle. You know, like, he, it's funny. Like, that was a fun conversation.
They don't have chemistry.
Yeah, but like, they're not even like, I mean, she's open to it, right? And like, it seems
her
like
doors are open.
her door let her open. It seems like she's the only one who's saying, like, let's take out, like, let's think about, like, breaking that power group up. And, you know, nobody else is like, everyone's like, nah, you know what? Let's just, like, go along with them.
Mm-hmm. Let me tell you one thing about Michelle. When she was getting the massage from Ty, and she said that, like, massage. Oh, it's like a Thai massage. And she didn't have the pun. There is no winner edit on her pun game. That pun game is weak.
No, but then she said it. Then she
He said it. Like, oh yeah, no, yeah, you are getting a Thai massage.
But then in confessional, she like made it explicit. She was like a Thai massage, both in like practice. Yes,
she
and
picked up
in,
on after Ty said it, but that was a layup for her, and she missed it.
You know what? You're hungry out there. Your brain isn't working right.
I guess so. But Steven, isn't it a bad idea? Doesn't it seem like almost any time that two people are left alone on Survivor, two people, they could be completely opposite alliances. The story is always the same. You leave two people alone and they end up becoming the best of friends by the end of the day. Go back to PG and Amanda. Back in China, they have like everybody else goes on a reward. They just leave them alone and they don't even like each other. And then it's like they just, for whatever reason, you're left with only one other person on Survivor. It tends to go well.
Yeah. And who did PG vote for? You know, like not Amanda.
Well, at that tribal council or in the finals?
No, the finals. Like, you know, that bond didn't go didn't like really manifest itself in any fundamental way. You know, that there was no alliance there. There was no, she voted for Todd in the end. Anyway, I hear what you're saying, but that's the problem, right? That's always the problem with rewards. But in this case, and that's why I think it's so important that you like take your core group with you. You take the ones you need to, right? This is my whole theory about rewards, is like
the Fishback Doctrine,
your alliance with you, because you need to firm up the bonds that you need. And like, you know,
but I think that's what Aubrey thought she was doing. She was like, okay, well, Sydney. My final
Ty having the idol throws it off. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah,
is totally. Me and Joe and Sydney, and Ty is on the outs. We didn't vote with him. He just has to deal with it. And then it was when she was sitting there like, boy, Sydney is actually good. I should get rid of her. But I just feel like that analysis should have come earlier.
Do you think there's any, yeah, it was funny that she was like, hold on a second. Sydney's playing this game. And it's funny because, right, like you get so dialed into your own plan that you do sort of like tend to forget like what other people are doing to a certain extent. Do you think there's any chance that Ty and Michelle would have done the old, you know, switcheroo on a?
I do think that up until Aubrey talked to Ty, that very much was in play, and they were talking about giving Ty's idol to somebody. I mean, really, it set up a scenario where Ty totally could have got screwed over. Based on this plan that they were coming up with, you know, he had Reichenbach upside for getting burned at this tribal council with, you know, giving his idol to Sydney if the votes were going to be on Sydney or something like that. And which I don't even think he would need to do if him and Michelle and Sydney were in on the plan. Only if it was going to be Michelle was going to be voted out, then he could give the idol to Michelle. But this was almost a disaster averted for Ty.
Oh, interesting. That's interesting that you think that's how it might have gone down.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just don't. Yeah. I mean, Ty's like held on to that idol. I'm not sure if you know, it's one thing to speculate about it, but I think another thing entirely to like hand it to someone else. You know, I think he plays it for himself, you know, no matter. And then it's like, oh, sorry. You know, so like, I'm not like ruining my game for Michelle. And like, I've still got a lot, you know, another day in this game is another day in this game.
Yeah. So what's the move for Aubrey here now at the final four? What does she need to do?
Get out Sydney, right? Isn't that the first thing you got to do?
Is that still the plan to take out Sydney? Because I think, does she have the votes for that? I don't think she does.
You got to like, who's the biggest threat? If you're Aubrey, who who's the biggest threat to win now? Is it Aubrey or is it Sydney?
I think that if you're Aubrey, I think that Sydney is the biggest threat to her, but I don't know if she has the coalition to say, all right, Ty and Michelle, here's the plan. We're voting out Sydney next. I think that she has to sort of do a 180. She has to go back to Sydney and Michelle and say, hey, it's ladies night. Ty, sorry, you got to go. This is we're doing the all girls thing.
At four, though, aren't you thinking like, isn't it sort of like, who cares what our like past alliances have been at four? It's like, all right, like we need to get out this person now because otherwise she's going to win the game.
They talked about Michelle at the preview, like, oh, Michelle has played a loyal game. She's not going to turn on Sydney here at the final four to vote with Aubrey and Ty.
She turned on Julia.
she didn't really. It was like there was no other choice for her to go.
She had like a big confessional about how she turned on Julia.
I guess so, but I really don't think, like, if me and you are you know, best friends and everybody is voting out you,
wow.
I don't think that's like a stab in the back if I just pile on another vote.
You're
on
trying
you
to lay the groundwork now for Robs versus Stevens. You know, yes. That's not cool,
if
dude.
Everybody's voting for you anyway. What does it matter if I put one more vote on you to sort of save myself?
You're
I would
not
want
my,
you to do it to me.
You just lost my final tribal vote.
Like DJ. but that being said, I mean, did you think that Aubrey could potentially get those other votes against Sydney?
I mean, you know, we see, it's so hard to say, right? Like we see in the preview, like Ty saying, I mean, maybe they just like, you know, so you think Aubrey is the first to go? You think
I think so.
Aubrey,
yeah. I think that this is
you
Aubrey.
Think they pull in Ty and they're like, let's just get rid of Aubrey. You think there's any chance it's a 2-on-2?
It could be, but why? Why would Ty right. go why to Ty go to that? Potentially? I mean, I guess if it's like if Ty wins immunity and it's the thing, it's like, hey, you know, could you just, you know, vote for you? You're not going home no matter what. Could you at least give me a shot to make a fire?
Yeah,
that, possibly. I mean,
yeah, that could be. I don't know. If you had a tight ally and it was 2-on-2, like you might. I mean, yeah, it's hard to say. I guess if you're Ty, you're probably thinking too, like, who can you beat in a challenge more? Right, like. Can you beat Aubrey or can you beat Sydney? I mean, they've both been great challenge competitors. Everyone, you know, it's so funny because, like, as a lot of people noted, you know, the challenges have really been evenly spaced in terms of who's been winning them. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so let's just talk that through, though. So, like, hypothetically, if it is Michelle and Sydney versus Ty and Aubrey 2-2, how does that fire making scenario work? Because up before the final four, the people that are in the deadlock tie are immune from picking the rocks. But yep. Here at the final four, it's going to turn into the people that each have 2 votes will be in making the fire. Do I have that correct?
Yeah, the people who it's the tie between make the fire. So you're not really at risk if you're Ty, you know, and you're voting for Sydney with Aubrey.
So hypothetically, if Ty has immunity or if Sydney or Michelle has immunity, he could vote with, if they say, hey, look, Ty, we're voting for Aubrey, he could potentially put his vote on, you know, whoever doesn't have immunity from Sydney and Michelle, and they would make a fire against Aubrey, or he could just make it very simple and put the vote on Aubrey.
Yeah, but if you're Michelle in that scenario, right, and you know Sydney's going to vote for you over Aubrey or Ty, like, shouldn't you, like, vote Sydney out?
And force her to make a fire?
Oh, no, I just mean, like, get rid of her, like, and then put her on the jury.
But you think Michelle's also going to do that? I think that Michelle's not voting against Sydney under any circumstances.
No, just, like, hypothetically, if you were Michelle, if you were, like, playing the character of Michelle, you know, turning on Sydney wouldn't be a terrible move there.
I guess it wouldn't be a terrible move, but again, if Aubrey and Ty have a final 2-pact, now right. I have to win immunity at the final 3 to get, and believe me, that's easier said than done, Stephen.
Yeah, maybe you're right that the move is to, yeah.
You know?
as we both can testify.
Yes.
Maybe the move there is to,
So a lot of intrigue heading into the final 4 vote, but I do feel like all the pressure is on Aubrey to win this immunity at final 4. But we will see 1 week from tonight.
Yeah, I'm excited. I think this is a really strong final 4.
It's going to be an interesting finale. Yeah, I think that there's a lot of intrigue heading into the finale. Before we get to some questions, I feel like I'm going to forget to do this. Luke Beckstrom wrote this on Twitter. Make sure that we get this in. Turns out that Joe had something in common with Alec Christie.
I'm a meat collector.
He's a meat collector, right? You tweeted about that as well. You said you needed a meat collector.
Yeah, I actually attributed it to Wes, though, so I got it wrong.
Okay. Yeah. The people were on top of that.
Yeah.
All right. And I also felt like that what we really could have used, the one guy that this would have never happened to is Darnell this season, because Darnell knew
when to go.
And right now, my gut tells me, go use the bathroom.
Yep. Darnell knew way back when. Okay. You saw Joe in the water. You felt like that was maybe what Joe was going for.
Oh, that's totally what Joe was going for.
Yeah.
I mean, from one end, you know, we don't know which end necessarily.
Yeah. From one end or the other. All right. So let's get into, some of these questions, and, Stephen, that we're having some Google Hangout issues, so I can't bring them up on the screen. Scott St. Pierre has been, sending them to me via GChat. So I'll just go ahead and fire them away, okay?
Thank you, Scott.
Okay. So let's start off with the questions. And question number one is from Sean Murphy. Should we call you Fishback Stradamus now for predicting the Joe Medivac? Any bold predictions for the finale? Was this one of your predictions? Last week you were talking about this.
Yeah, well, Joe had such a big visibility spike last week. He'd been nowhere, and then suddenly he was getting like long meandering confessionals. And of course, if you want my finale predictions, you'll know they're all about long meandering confessionals that go nowhere. I feel like people are sick of me saying the thing I'm not going to say.
Yeah. Now, Steven, did you give out a fishy for this episode of the show?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I thought about, you know, my thought was like, oh, maybe it's like the elements, or maybe it's like meat. That's kind of like mean spirited. So I thought like, I'll just give it to Joe. Like Joe, you know, he freaking did an awesome job. Yeah. He's the older guy. Like he won a reward. Like what great timing, like for the first time he wakes up like all season and it, like you, it's the time that he goes, like, you know, there's just a little bit of magic on Survivor.
Yeah. Really a missed opportunity for a hot cup of coffee to come in and win the fishy. Or a cigarette. Yeah. All right. This is from Beth Talley. She says, so I guess Ty will go home with an idol in his pocket. After he said all season long, I'm not going home with an idol in my pocket. It looks like he might.
I'm not going to go home with an idol in my pocket.
Yeah.
That is funny. Like I saw a couple people observe that. It's true. Like Ty can no longer play his idol. So he's leaving the game no matter how he leaves it, you know, whether he's getting eliminated or as a finalist. He's leaving the game with an idol in his pocket. Some funny foreshadowing, like not so, like I think everyone predicted based on the use of that quote. Oh, wow. Like either he's playing his idol in some spectacular way, or he's like, you know, he's getting blindsided with the idol in his pocket, but nope, he's just leaving the game with the idol in his pocket. It's pretty great.
Probably really burns up Scott too. That it's like, you could have saved me. Yeah, you didn't even need it.
Well, Dalton Ross observed that none of the idols have been played this season, which is really interesting for a season where the idols have had like such a big role in strategy. And I actually really love it. You know, like the idols have had this tremendous impact on the way the game has kind of shaken out, but not in the sort of like total reversal because the idol was played, you know, kind of way that's sort of like a wah wah. Sorry, Andrew Savage.
Token Teens-esque, which leads to our next question. The great Colin Stone, your friend and mine, he
surprisingly
tweeted,
tall. Very tall.
Yes, Stephen Fishback, why didn't Stephen play his idol when it expired in Token Teens?
Taj took it. She wanted it. She wanted to go home with it in her pocket. And so I was like, all right, like, okay, you know. I think we didn't vote her out that week, did we? We might have, because it might have been the final four.
Yeah.
That might have been the last time I think it was the final five was the last time you could have played it.
Yeah,
it
we voted out coach at the final five. Taj was four.
And
you guys just had it and it was like, okay, well this will be some like at least she'll like won't be as mad when we blindside her but she got blindsided, so how did she know to have the idol? It was just like,
she wanted it. I think it was like after it was too late to play it, and she's like, oh, I want it. I was like, sure. You know, like I wasn't going to piss her off.
We're blindsiding you anyway. It's fine. It's like, take this parting gift.
Yeah.
Is there anything else from the camp that you want? Changes. You can take whatever.
We set fire to everything at the end.
Yeah. Jeff Patterson wants to know, is this one of the best character driven seasons in Survivor Seabass history? Definitely first timers. Hashtag RIP Joe. Well, he's not dead. Let's not get carried away here.
Yeah. I think it really is a really strong character-driven season, you know, certainly in a long, long time, like, you know, since, you know, the early days of Survivor. I think this might be one of the most, like, the strongest, most character-based seasons and we've seen.
I would say if we're, you know, only China? Talking about seasons with all new players, certainly the best since Chagyeong.
Oh, yeah. But Kagayan was so strategy driven. You know, it wasn't his character.
I think it was both. I think it was.
Yeah, you're right. Kagayan was perfect. What am I saying? It really was.
Okay. Let's see. Sean Murphy says, we already did that one. Nate Ryan says, can we talk about how perceptive and great Sydney has been? I feel like she's not getting enough credit for the game she's playing.
Yeah.
Steven, you and I haven't talked too much about Sydney this season. But again, you had this moment where after they come back from the reward, she's able just to look at somebody, be like, okay, Aubrey and Ty are walking around. Something up is there. So she definitely knows very quickly things are going on. And
I'm like,
so very quickly she can notice that that's her alarm that notifies her when something is amiss.
I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
She is incredibly observant. And I think she's like, she's really playing that like in the middle game that like, so many people have tried, like, right? Like Julia tried to play this season. You know, a lot of people have tried to play it and it's blowing up in their face. You know, I think Spencer and I both kind of went for it. Like Joe Anglin went for it last season. It's almost impossible without it kind of blowing up in your face in some way, whether it's, you know, one alliance turning on you, another alliance turning on you, or people getting really pissed at you at the end, which, you know, still may be the case with Sydney. But I she's really done a superb job of kind of like bouncing from side to side and making sure that she's at the core of whichever side she's like most on that day.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is a hot button question for you here, Steven. Now, we've given a lot of praise to Aubrey. I think you and I have both been, you know, effusive with our praise of Aubrey in the post-merge game. But as I was saying, I think she made a mistake last week. She was able to double back and fix that mistake here. Has Sydney made one misstep in the post-merge game or really in the game at all? Can you point to one move that she's made that's been bad?
Well, you and I disagreed strongly about her turning on her core alliance, right?
I was wrong. I was wrong about it. I've mea culpa. I got that one wrong.
Yeah. Thanks. Finally.
You were right about it. You should have bet knowing is no at all on that.
Well, when I find something to bet knowing is no at all,
I got that one wrong. Yeah. I still say the Debbie vote was right, but the Nick vote, I think I was wrong about that.
But you may have been right. I mean, like, she's here now, but like, I mean, I guess like you couldn't really say she's in a better position than she is now. Like right now, she's probably she's in a really strong position because she's in with everybody. And I don't think anyone else is in with everybody. Ty's not in with Michelle.
Look, if out of anybody, I would say if I was going to give you like handicap the odds, I almost see no scenario where Sydney goes out at the final four.
Unless the other three are like, Sydney's the biggest threat. Let's vote her out now.
They all wake up and they say that.
Yeah, you're right. No, I agree. I think Sydney's in the best position. I think Sydney's playing a really, really, really strong game.
And I think the only way she... Yeah, go ahead.
Pre-merge, too, she played a perfect game. You know, like, when she was... You know, she had that moment with Darnell where she was out, and then suddenly she's... You know, Braun kept her instead of Jennifer. So, like, you know, she really did a great job of, like, worming her way into the alliance. And it's just because she's, like, incredibly... You know, like, that moment, maybe one of the best plays of the season... I don't know. That might be an overstatement. When she lets the idol go and lets the guys get the idol, I just thought that was so smart. You know, she was so good. She tells them what she knows, but she lets them do it, you know? I mean, and it worked out for her.
She was so good because she let those guys, she's like, look, I'm not going to compete against those guys because that's what's, you know, that giving it back to these guys, it's what's getting Alicia in all this trouble with them. I'm just going to let them do their thing. And then when I have my chance, I'm going to take them out. She's been so good. She has zigged when she should be zigging, zagged when she should have zagged. The only thing in my mind that stops her from getting to the final two is a tie win at the final three. And then he says, let me take Michelle to the end.
Yeah. For some reason, I really have this feeling that Aubrey's going to be third, you know, like I have this really strong feeling that
where the best players end up.
Well, you know, just the most over edited players.
All right, let's take a few more questions. This is from Flo Christian 3D. Had you rather watch a final two or final three? I think a final two is more climactic, but final three encourage more aggressive play along the way. Do you have a feeling on a season with a final three versus a final two?
I mean, I was hoping for a final three. I'm sure you were hoping for a final three, but
the final three was not even, you know,
it hadn't been invented yet. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
There was no possibility of one.
I was hoping for a final three. I mean, as a player, I think you all want a final three. I think it gives you a little more flexibility in terms of how you get there. If you're like a guy like me, or, you know, no offense, a guy like you, like, we're getting to the final two by the grace of someone else winning that final three challenge.
Often,
you know,
yes.
So it's like we're at a disadvantage going in there.
That's why we should make an alliance.
Yeah. But at the final three, you have more leverage because it's easier to get someone out of four. I mean, as a player, I like three more. There's something really compelling about a final two as a viewer, though. What do you think? What's your perspective?
Boy, if I was a player, I would really love a final three. As a viewer, I do like the final two. I feel like that you really get the people like sort of like going. There's always like one person that the jury doesn't even talk to in the final three.
Yeah.
And then you sort of like are able to deflect where it's either like, okay, you really have to force the people to like, you know, knock the other person next to them more. And I think that always leads to better TV.
I mean, the problem is, right, like, and this is obviously why they did the final three to begin with, is that, like, the best player kept on getting eliminated in third place. You're, you know, yourself foremost among them. And, you know, that's often the case. Stop. Like, when there's that third, you know, when you're at the final three and someone, you know, wins immunity, like, of course they're going to vote out the big super threat. Of course they are, you know, and maybe that may happen this season, too. So it's like, what do you, you know? I don't know how you do it. I would, if I were a producer, I'd probably err on the side of the final three because I want the best player to win. And I think the final three has the best chance of getting the best player to the end.
Yeah, I think with the final two, you run the risk where you have a very, very boring final hour of a finale where it's like, okay, this is going to be, you know, a total blowout. Now we have blowouts in final threes also.
Yes.
But sometimes it's a blowout and you don't realize as a viewer it's going to be a blowout. And sometimes it's like, okay, well, obviously this person was a total loser and this person brought them to the end because of that. And you know, you just like the final tribal council is a farce, and I think you avoid that more with the final three.
Yeah, yeah, I know exactly. I totally agree. Did anyone think Wu was going to? I actually did for a moment in that tribal council. I thought Wu was going to be
Tony. Tony was not great in that final tribal council. As great as Tony is, he was not great in the final tribal council. And you thought that maybe there was a possibility, but no, not really. Okay, Steven, anything else from this week's episode?
Well, no, you.
Not too much. Again, that this was a, you know, it's tough to absorb these medevacs and, you know, that it's tough on the production here because it happens somewhat like in the middle of the episode. I'm sure the production was wishing that they would have gotten an immunity challenge
here
to eat up like, you know, 10, 15 minutes of this episode. They got lucky with the Neil medevac that they got to have the episode. They had the merge business to get to. They had a whole immunity challenge that Nick had won. And then at the very end of the episode, this was like on that middle, if it's a 3-day cycle, this seems like this was on that middle day of the 3-day cycle where they went to the reward, they came back from the reward. And this was that second day where there would have been an immunity challenge the next day. And they didn't get to that. So tough to make an hour out of this. And they were already so down in the numbers with the people left that they couldn't do a tribal council in this episode also. So tough spot for the production.
I mean, Joe must have been in real pain if, you know, in the middle of the night they pulled, you know, they brought in the Dr. Joe and you know, Jeff. He must have really been suffering. Like that's got to have been an extreme moment for him. And, you know, like, ugh, I don't wish that on anybody.
Yeah,
and maybe some people.
Tough spot. Although he looked like he was holding up a lot better than Bruce Kennegai, who, you know, Bruce Kennegai was really like doubled over in pain and screaming. They had to bring in the helicopter, where Joe was really, you know, leaving on his own volition, right? He was clearly.
I don't need to be carried, bro.
He was able to just walk off and say, boy. He had final words. He got to say goodbye to everybody. He wasn't like, all right, Jeff, come on, let's get out of here.
But I thought, I mean, everyone said, you know, just how obviously he was sort of like, you know, probably, you know, in more pain than he was letting on. And I think, you know, you could see that he was just being really stoic about it. Have you ever, I said this before, but like, have you ever seen a cast kiss this much? They're always kissing each other.
Very touchy feely.
Haven't you noticed that they're always kissing each other?
You know, I will take a look at that on the...
Just look at, like, Joe's farewell. I mean, Joe's farewell obviously is a cheery moment. Like, a lot of kissing happens. But, like, all the time they're kissing each other.
Yeah. Well, look. Yeah, they got close. They got close out there. All right, Steven. All right, so look for the Fishy and the People blog coming up on Steven's Twitter, at Steven Fishback.
Yeah, please. I'm going to write it now.
Okay.
So, who is Joe's the right one for the Fishy, right?
Yeah, I give it to him. I mean, just like, you know, tip the cap, you know.
Someone just tweeted.
We salute you, Joe.
Harper Elizabeth tweeted, is Joe on the jury? I assume so, right?
I would think so. I mean, I think so. It's like, I this seems like a somewhat easy problem to fix.
Yeah.
From what I understand.
Okay. From what you understand.
Right. I think that there's like a, you know, I just feel like that maybe that, you know, that we don't need to get into the details on this, but I think that's probably easily. I don't think the surgery is going to be required for Mr. Okay. Joe.
All right. Good.
Okay. That being said, tomorrow on the podcast, exit interview with Joe Del Campo. We'll find out how everything is going at this point. Presumably a lot better. Also, then we'll have our interview with Jeremy Collins and voicemails with Bryce Isaiah. Get those voicemails in. We're going to be recording those a little earlier in the day, so don't dilly-dally. robinthewebsite.com/voicemail or 323-282-RHAP. Also, Steven, that people have been asking, we haven't done it this season, the RHAP Bell shirts are going to be back in the store. Once again, limited run here at the end of the season. Go to robinswebsite.com/bellshirts for that. All right, Steven, anything else?
No, looking forward to next week, the big finale. Looking forward to seeing you in Reno, man.
Yeah, that's going to be very exciting. So, yeah, this is going to be a big month. We're going to be doing some podcasts live out there in Reno at the Pepper Mill with Jason Somerville and our Survivor panel. Very much looking forward to that. And hopefully, Steven, we should have an announcement soon about an RHAP event coming to the Windy City this summer.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yep. It's all happening. All right. Have a good one, everybody. Have a great night. Take care.
Bye. Survivor, know it all.